Welcome back to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt. Today we're talking about the Georgia Guidestones. That's right. You know them. You might hate them. They blew up. We blew them up a couple years ago here in America. And today we're going to talk about what these things represented. We're going to cover the significance of the date, March 22nd. We're going to talk about what the Guidestones say, what they meant, their occult significance, connections with the Rosicrucians, the Process Church, and of course the Illuminati, the elite's population reduction plan, and revealing the Builder. That's right, we're going to reveal the Builder. Who was the guy R.C. Christian? We're going to find out today, allegedly. So stick with me because this one's going to be real good. And without further ado, let's just get into it. The history of this thing is illuminate confirm right off the bat. We go to March 22nd, 1980. This is the day that it was erected. Ironically, the day that I'm timing the release of this show. Because why not? Why not be fun about things? 322 is an important number to the occultists. And this goes back to the Bible, because this all goes back to spiritual battles, because that's what it's all about. Genesis 3:22. It's about man becoming God. And you'll notice that the number 322 shows up on the iconography of the Yale Skull and Bones, where many of our elected leaders get initiated into the occult. Genesis 3:22 says, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat, and live forever." Because that's what it's all about. It's all about man becoming God. And this goes back to the Garden of Eden. All the occult stories of, you know, Gnosticism and Manichaeism, they have a version of the Garden of Eden story where the serpent, referred to as Jesus the Splendor, is the Savior opening the eyes of Adam and Eve that they can become gods. They eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's what Genesis 3:22 is talking about. Man living forever as gods. And we're going to come back to that in the conclusion. But let's talk about the inscription on the Guidestones, at least while they were up. It says, maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. Guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity. Unite humanity with a living, new language. Rule passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason. Protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts. Let all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court. A world court. Avoid petty laws and useless officials. Balance personal rights with social duties. Prize truth, beauty, and love, seeking harmony with the infinite. Be not a cancer on the earth. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature. Saying it twice to make sure they got the message across, apparently. Now, what we're talking about here, if you look at the first one, the first commandment, if you will, they want to maintain humanity under 500 million, which is much less than what we've got today. We were at, what, 8 billion? Because they seem to subscribe to this idea of population reduction. And then in the couple sentences later, they talk about guiding reproduction to improve fitness and diversity. That is eugenics, made famous by Mr. Adolf Hitler himself, with the Anunnabe, I believe is what they called that, the study of trying to find the perfected German Aryan race. They talk about world courts, which tells me they're into a globalist thing. But as you find out, when you dig into this, and the people involved with the Guidestones, they all thought they were doing good Christian work. And boy, oh boy, could they be more wrong. So now we're going to switch gears. We're going to go to a documentary released many years ago called Dark Clouds Over Elberton. In fact, I watched this many years ago. I was planning I had a wedding out there in old South Kakalaki, and I flew into Atlanta Airport, and I told Josie, I said, Josie, we're going to drive over to those Georgia Guidestones. And we didn't quite make it. It took us off the path a little bit. And at the time, it was so much driving, I said, oh, forget it. Who cares? And now I wish I would have done it because they blew them up. So anyway, I took notes on this documentary years ago, but they were such terrible notes, I had to rewatch it. Back then, it was on Amazon Prime. Today, you can find it on YouTube for free. All right. I'm going to go through it and tell you the takeaways of it. Because it's like a two-hour documentary. R.C. Christian is the pseudonym of the guy who had these things built. And he contacted a businessman named Joe Finley and then the president of Granite City Bank, Wyatt Martin, became an intermediary. All right. Wyatt Martin knows who R.C. Christian is or was or whatever. And then there's another guy named Wayne Mullinex. He'll show up later because we're going to talk about a recent CNN article, which is what brought this to my attention again. And R.C. Christian apparently told businessman Joe Finley and bank president Wyatt Martin he represents a small group of concerned Americans. Probably the truth. Small group being the Illuminati. And, of course, the name R.C. Christian sounds a lot like Christian Rosenkreutz, right? That's the founder, again, a fictitious pseudonym, the founder of the Rosicrucians. And what are the Rosicrucians into? The idea that man can become God. Taking us back to 322. That's why the date of March 22nd was the day these things were supposed to be erected. And the Brotherhood of R.C. is probably where this name R.C. Christian came from. Rosicrucianism, okay? Well, on the Dark Clouds documentary, they go to interview Wyatt Martin. Again, he knows the true identity of R.C. Christian. And he says that, well, R.C. Christian told him that he chose that pseudonym because he was a Christian. And all these people trusted this guy. They said, oh, yeah, he's a Christian. And the whole idea was that these Guidestones were a way to tell humanity how to rebuild if we had a nuclear holocaust. Because this is back during the Cold War of 1980. So they proceeded to build this thing because, you know, you're in, I presume, the Bible Belt, right? You're in northern Georgia. Near Roswell, Georgia, by the way, which is where Bobby Christina was put in the bathtub after her mother, Whitney Houston, was put in the bathtub. See my shows about bathtub symbolism. But if you recall, the Bobby Christina funeral was held in Roswell. They had all this Egyptian Freemason symbolism at the funeral home. Crazy stuff. So the Guidestones, they were these stone megaliths, kind of, monoliths, and they had holes that needed to line up astrologically. They line up to the Polaris North Star, the Norman Pole, the Sun on the shortest and longest day of the year. But they had astrological guides to reestablish the calendar and compass and all that stuff. Right? Again, very pagan sort of thing. You see that in a lot of structures. Well, it's interesting because they start talking about the history of Elberton and how it was known for being this granite capital. And if you look carefully at the images, which I'm going to post on my Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt, like and subscribe. I'm going to put the images on there. The camera takes a shot of Elberton. It has a shot of a Freemason lodge. Because, again, it's all connected. Then they show a bird's eye view of the sketch for the monument because Wyatt Martin had all the documents from this thing in a box, right? And there's a sketch of the monument that R.C. Christian drew out for them to plan how to build this thing. And it looks just like the Process Church logo. Now, that's very interesting because the Process Church has a lot of occult ties to Charles Manson, which was unproven, you know, allegedly. And the founders, Robert D. Grimston, was interested in Crowley. He went out to the Abbey of Thelema in Cefalù, out in Italy, where Crowley was doing a bunch of dark mass stuff, really testing his ability to cross the abyss. they were influential. The Process Church, they had like Scientology connections. They were influential on the Temple of Psychic Youth, which is connected into Genesis PL Ridge, all kinds of stuff. But anyways, the logo looks very much like the Process Church logo. Then they, the Coggins Industries, they had some correspondence for the plans, and the Ten Commandments that they put on there, it started out with, "Let there be a guidestone to an age of reason." All right? The age of reason. We're going to cover this later. We'll come back to that. Now, one theme that keeps recurring on this documentary is that this small town, they were okay with doing all this because they thought, A, R.C. Christian was a Christian, and B, they thought, well, this is good publicity for the granite industry that we've got. And you almost feel bad for these people. Like, bro, this guy duped you guys, man. But that goes to show that's the practice and the techniques of these occultists going back to the Order of Assassins. To assimilate into whatever culture and say whatever you got to say to get done what you got to get done. So then they interview Wayne Mullinex. He owned the construction company that Joe Finley hired to install the monument. All right. And as they're talking to him, I noticed, and I'll put this screenshot on my Instagram. Wayne Mullinex is wearing a Freemason ring, the compass and square ring. And he talks about how he and Joe Finley were buddies through the Freemasons and the Shriners and all this stuff. And I thought, there's a lot going on here in this little town. But take a listen to this clip I'm going to play from Dark Clouds of Elberton. And because they talk about how witches would use this monument after it was built. And they were wondering if it was for powers of darkness and rituals and all this stuff. So take a listen.
Since that time, the Guidestones, with all their mystery, have inspired a host of apocalyptic ideas. Meanwhile, those who are involved in witchcraft and the occult have seen the monument as a touchstone for the powers of darkness.
I have indeed heard of, especially late at night, after midnight, seances and other type, occultic type worship services going on out there. So I've heard of them, I've not witnessed them, and one of the things in all the discussions I've had with members of this community and this church, people here are very reluctant to acknowledge that type thing exists.
I thought witchcraft had passed away from this country in the days of Salem, when they were killing these people, these women, for being witches. And it was to my amazement, I found that witchcraft is still very prevalent in this country today.
Some people say the witches and warlocks, is, you know, have had weddings up there. Well, you know, they're a person just like you and I. If they want to have their wedding up there, that's up to them.
I started getting letters from witches. I started getting a monthly magazine coming from the National Association of Witches. And, you know, they were very far out, and they tried to take over the Guidestones for a period of time.
This is hearsay. I heard some witches, we heard that some witches have been out here. And
we would see lights up there at night, and we would go check it out, and people would have thrown a rope across from one side to the other and climb up on there and light candles. And just, I mean, you know, I don't know what they're doing.
You never saw them while they were in an act of some kind of ritual or something?
No. It wasn't an interest to me. The biggest thing that ever concerned us is somebody would say, well, they're going to have a sacrifice and they're going to have one of your cows up there. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of disturbed me.
Now, why did they say they'd have a ritual here? What is it about this place that they think is sacred?
I have no idea. I think it just has, it's almost like a, you know, an icon now. It's just like something that, pop culture. You know, something that's mysterious, something they don't have in their town or even in their state. They can't afford the ticket to go see Stonehenge. Exactly. This is kind of closer. And
America has their own Stonehenge.
That's right. It's been dubbed as the American Stonehenge. So, and there's enough mystery and weirdness about it.
And of course, there's a slot that comes down that the sun supposedly, there's a space on that Nauman center stone that's dressed, meaning smooth. And the sun rays projected, you know, different times. Now, the critics say that that slot is based on the design of pagan altars, and that's a drain hole. And I'm not going into detail. You can imagine what the theory behind that is.
One of the ministers there in Elberton even said that he expected them to actually, you know, kill somebody up there one day. And just that really got things going and caused all kind of wild thoughts to come into people's minds.
But it's all true. There's connections to be had with the elites, the Illuminati, population control, the occult, ritual magic, paganism. All this stuff seems connected. And there was a good quote about how he thought witches were gone from the country. And it's like, well, maybe not, right? Maybe people are practicing occult practices still. There was a fair take by Wayne Mullinex. He said, if witches want to do weddings up there, they're people too. That's fine. And I thought, okay, not bad. But note that this is the Freemason Wayne, right? Little Mason Wayne. So, because I've heard that, I think Freeman said that the Freemasons, I'm sorry, the OTO, they do ritual get-togethers or ceremonies or whatever in Freemasonic lodges. Are they connected? Now, Lil Wayne here said that there's a slot on the top of the stone which is for drainage. Some claim it's for drainage of blood, for blood sacrifices. There's talk about people climbing up there. A different guy explains that the slot is for sunlight. I don't know. Could be a pagan altar for blood. Could be a sunlight. Could just be regular old drainage for rain. I don't know. But a minister on there said he expected there to be a blood sacrifice one day. All right. And those are the attitudes of things that surely contributed to the idea of someone who decided, you know what, I'm blowing these things up. I'm going to play one more clip for you. R.C. Christian wrote a book under his pseudonym called Common Sense Renewed. And he spells out the philosophy of what he's into. And he cites Thomas Paine's Age of Reason and talks about population control. Take a listen.
While preaching peace and the concept of reason, his concerns quickly turned to the subject of population control.
We live in a time of great peril. Humanity and the proud achievements of its infancy on Earth are in grave danger. Our knowledge has outstripped wisdom. We have controlled disease, but have not regulated our numbers.
R.C. Christian went on to express his concerns as a conservationist and made it clear that the real problems of the environment were the fault of having too many people.
As the world enters the last decade of the 20th century, public concern is being directed to environmental pollution, the destruction of tropical forests, the greenhouse effect, and to impending shortages of many ingredients needed for high material living standards. These problems are only symptoms. The basic cause is obvious to most educated people. It is the human overpopulation that is already upon us. Unless and until there is general recognition of the evils of overpopulation, we can make little progress toward building an age of reason.
So here's another issue we have. We have this idea that the environment is needs our saving. We need population control to save the environment. And the issue is that nature worship is a pagan idea too. And I also believe that the earth is going to do just fine without us, right? I'm all on board with the idea of conservation and protecting the earth, protecting our resources. Like, you know, Charles Manson had his atois, air, trees, water, animals. I think we do need to be careful with all those things. But don't be fooled in thinking that, oh, the earth, it'll just, you know, if we don't save it, it's going to kill us. That's the problem. It'll take care of the problem, and that problem is us, right? So we need to be good stewards of the gift God gave us. That's my perspective on it. So do I want to worship nature? No, but it's like the icons in the Orthodox Church, right? We don't worship them as idols. We admire them. We respect them. we pay homage to it. That's kind of how I look at it. He says that the government needs to make decisions for people's reproductive decisions. And he likes the Chinese policies on the one child, thinks people shouldn't be trusted to make their own decisions. And I'm very much against that. I don't want the government telling people how to live or how to get involved with their reproduction choices. You know what I mean? I'm okay with women having the right to make their own choices with those things. The same way I'm all right with bozos like Elon Musk who couldn't pull out of a garage and having 10 kids that he's not taking care of. What do I know? Maybe he's, you know what? Maybe I take that back. Maybe Elon Musk is a great dad. Maybe he's a great father. So anyway, the point is like people need to be able to make their own decisions. All right. The Age of Reason is a book that talks about this is, and this is what's funny to me. Thomas Paine, it's a reference. Okay. Let me go back and let me restate this here. So R.C. Christian wrote this book called Common Sense Renewed, and he cites Thomas Paine's Age of Reason, okay? And then we also talked about how the first statement was, let there be a guidestone to an age of reason. Clear connection to be had, right? Well, The Age of Reason by Thomas Paine is a book entirely about destroying Christianity because the Founding Fathers, turns out, weren't all very Christian, all right? And it mocks the, and don't let the Tea Party morons fool you. Don't let the MAGA Trump crowd fool you. They're dressing up with the wigs and all the stuff. They're very confused on what the history of this country's founding is about. I think it's in the it's right there in the documents. The government will not establish an official religion. They will not, because that's why they left Europe to start America. Because the Rosicrucians and all these folks were getting persecuted by the Church of England. And they're like, no, we're not going to do that anymore. And I mean, take from that what you will. Made for a pretty good country. You have the right to choose to worship whoever and whatever you want. But the Age of Reason, Thomas Paine, was definitely about trying to destroy Christianity. And he mocks pagan religions also, so, I mean, it could be a little bit of atheism there. But it's anti-Christian because it likes the idea of depopulation, population reduction, getting rid of people that aren't valuable. Well, and that's another element of Christianity. I believe, don't quote me on this, but I think in the Orthodoxy, maybe I shouldn't say that. My personal perspective is that, like, I'm against the death penalty. Like, do some people deserve to die? Yeah, they do. But it's also not our place, because that's God's children. Even the most horrific person you could imagine, Adolf Hitler, will say, was one of God's children. And he should be able to have the time it takes to find salvation and ask forgiveness for his sins. And it's not our place to end his life prematurely. Now, I mean, there's times when you got to intervene, right? For protection of your life or someone else's life. Sure, bust a cap. I'm fine with that. But anyway, the government issuing the death penalty, I believe, goes against Christianity. Call me crazy. But it goes into this eugenics idea of getting rid of people that aren't valuable or defective people, right? That's not our place to judge. Judge not, my friends, is what they say. But Thomas Paine, he wanted to abolish all religions. And R.C. Christian told people like Wyatt Martin that he wasn't Christian and then they trusted him and they didn't understand these things. This is all part of the great work, lying to get the job done. Then we find out that an ambassador to the United Nations came to town and R.C. Christian and Wyatt Martin went to visit this ambassador to get him to translate the English statements to all the different languages found on the stones. So now you got this connection to the UN, this globalist tyranny. But there's lots of locals on the documentary talking about conspiracy theories about how this is the Illuminati And the caretaker of the monument asserts it's nothing of the sort. He's got to remove graffiti off this thing all the time. And he said that people are welcome to come to a ritual if they want. Like, that's not against the rules. Just don't do any graffiti. And then they addressed the Masonic thing. Wyatt Martin apparently was not a Freemason, but Joe Finley and Wayne Mullinex were. Okay. Wyatt Martin, again, the president of the bank. It says on the stone in the ground by the guidestones that there was a time capsule planted 6 feet under, but then there's controversy if that's really there. There's no date on it. Wayne Mullinex acts very squirrely about this when they ask him, and he says, well, we'll find out when that stone is removed, but there's no word on when that is planned or how. I don't know where it's at to this day. Maybe that's still there. Then we start talking about the documents, and this is okay. I'll play this clip too. There's a document that talks about the original purpose for this thing, and they think that it was probably a different author, meaning R.C. Christian didn't necessarily write this. Take a listen.
And at the same time, offer an explanation for the mysterious name R.C. Christian. What follows is from a strange document that we found among the records. The wording of it does not read like the other writings of Mr. Christian and seems to have been composed by someone else, perhaps another member of the anonymous group behind the Guidestones. The important parts of it read as follows.
To whomever comes upon this presenting, contained herein are keys that have been awaited to be placed here in proper sequencing and in proper order, to announce the return and the activation of those events of prophecy that signal these events. Those who have guarded this great mystery and who have guarded the evolution of the human species itself are returning. It has begun.
The document mentions keys that were said to be contained herein. Was this a reference to something placed inside a time capsule? But the writing continues and describes the monument's mysterious designer.
This monument, known as the Georgia Guidestones, shall find threads unto the revelation of its mystery in the name R.C. Christian, otherwise known unto that contingency that is responsible for the erection of this monument as Christian Rosencrantz, 1378-1484. This presentation of keys upon the finding of it is to be delivered to the Elberton Star. The Elberton Star is to deliver it to the Atlanta Rosicrucian Society.
The document clearly associates the name R.C. Christian with the mythical figure of Christian Rosencrantz, who is alleged to have founded a secret society known as the Rosicrucians.
Now that document talks about prophecy and a group overseeing the evolution of humanity. Again, that's the great work. They think they have a higher calling. They use phrase about keys to activate prophecy. Keys, again, another Freemasonic symbol. The most important symbol of all of them, according to James Shelby Downard, the king of synchromysticism. And the document specifically ties R.C. Christian to Christian Rosencrantz, the pseudonym founder of the Rosicrucians, and specifically associates it to that. Now, some say they believe this Rosencrantz feller from Rosicrucianism was actually Saint Germain. I don't know. It goes on and on, right? But we hear on the documentary that the 18th degree of Freemason is the Knight of the Rose Croix. And the language in that degree of initiation is about, you know, when you look into it, it's about this utopian fantasy and secularism. And the Rose Croix is a reference to the Rose Cross, again, with the Rosicrucians. Because the Rosy Cross is symbolic of the unfolding consciousness or the enlightenment of man, that's the rose, against the cross, which is the material realm, which is representative of man, all right? The material world. We're going to come back to that in the conclusion because it's all relevant. So R.C. Christian, he also wanted to fund a circle of stones around it, like Stonehenge. Okay. And for whatever reason, that didn't pan out. Then we've got the scene. This is where it gets interesting. They go into Wyatt Martin's shed, the president of the bank, because he's got this old IBM case with a bunch of documents in it from when R.C. Christian came in to do what he was doing. And they retrieve this document from this briefcase from the shed, and he opens it. He talks him into opening the thing because the documentary people are like, we're going to try to figure out who this guy is. And Wyatt's like, yeah, I think I got RC's real name and address in there somewhere. So the cameraman is zooming in and snapping all these images, and it totally gives away R.C. Christian's address. I almost feel bad for Wyatt. They really finesse this guy who's like a trusting old dude. Seemed like a nice guy. And I'll put the photos on the Instagram. You can see they got all kinds of photos while this guy had the briefcase open. And they start researching the names and addresses that they snapped in the IBM case. And they trace a address in Fort Dodge to this guy named Herbert Kirsten. And they connect all these dots, and they basically say, this was R.C. Christian, this guy named Herbert Kirsten. And they go to his gravestone. It says he's a physician and a conservationist. And it has a cross on the tombstone, which I think if you didn't know any better, you'd say, yeah, you know, he was just a Christian doing Christian things. Now, let's see here. So then they talk about Dr. Shockley, who was a guy who was friends with Herbert Kirsten at this country club. And Dr. Shockley was really racist. And he said people with IQs below 100 should be, you know, unalived, executed, killed, murdered. Because again, these people aren't Christians. They're psychopaths, control freaks. And Kirsten sent a letter. That's why I'm always saying, like, we need to be kind to each other, right? Like, God was all about, Christ came here and it was all about love your neighbor. I'm like, that's what we need to do. Don't lose sight of it with these nut job eugenicists and people being mean to be mean, spiteful, hateful folks. But Kirsten, he sent a letter to an Orlando newspaper talking about how David Duke was this great patriot. And, you know, David Duke was a what do you call it, like a grandmaster of the KKK. And we find out that Dr. Shockley was also friends with David Duke. So you had this little trifecta of losers, David Duke, Herbert Kirsten, and Dr. Shockley. So the question is, in summary of this documentary, when R.C. Christian, a.k.a. allegedly possibly Herbert Kirsten, said that it's a small group of concerned Americans, who were they? Racist, globalist, occultist. That's who. And that's what Hitler wanted to do. He wanted to get rid of the lazy, ignorant, and stupid. And the documentary, it debunks a lot of these ideas very nicely. Galatians 3:8 says we need mercy and compassion for one another. Christianity is about charity, not population control. And I agree. Controversial take, I know. So fast forward to February 2024. Okay. I'm on the Communist News Network. And they have an article exposing the guy who this Herbert Kirsten guy. You know, don't ask why it shows up all these years later. Journalist Thomas Lake covered it. And they talk about, they basically recap this documentary, Dark Clouds Over Elberton. They talk about this discussion had with Wayne Mullinex and how he set it up, and about how this journalist, Thomas Lake, searched for a copy of this Common Sense Renewed, and he gets it and reveals some major themes. And that's the R.C. Christian book. And they actually pull quotes from it, which I liked. It says, I'm the originator of the Georgia Guidestones and the sole author of its inscriptions. I have had the assistance of a number of other American citizens in bringing the monument into being. We have no mysterious purpose or ulterior motives. We seek common sense pathways to a peaceful world without bias for particular creeds or philosophies. Yet our message is in some areas controversial. I've chosen to remain anonymous to avoid debate and contention. Yada, yada, yada. And then he talks about the 10 guidelines, which we already talked about. It's it'll be necessary for well-informed citizens to work with knowledgeable physicians in establishing guidelines that will make possible a reasonable allocation or rationing of the care we collectively can afford. Sounds like the death panels. It sounds like, mandatory stabby jabbies. Call me crazy. The theme of valuing some lives more than others continued as... Oh, sorry, I'm reading... Okay, that was journalists talking about what's in the book. Back to the book. We established social environments in which many talented and productive individuals are constrained to limit their reproduction, while at the same time we provide subsidies that encourage childbearing by the indignant, the lazy, the irresponsible, and the inadequate. I think that's almost a verbatim Hitler quote, by the way. It is vitally important that each national government have a considered population policy. They talk about how great China is for their one-child policy. So that's more of the Marxist communism stuff we need to worry about. They talk about how quick sterilization can be. They were throwing babies in the trash and all this crazy stuff, right? So the journalist Thomas Lake asks Mullinex what he thinks about all that. And I actually think Thomas Lake is the... Let me look that up while we're on here. Is Thomas Lake the guy in... Thomas Lake... and Dark Clouds Over Elberton?
Hold on, folks. We're doing live research, folks. And we're going to get to the bottom of this thing. We're going to need to cut to a break. Do you got any boner juice pills? Man, I don't know.
Maybe I'm confused on this. Because I thought the CNN article was the journalist was Thomas Lake. Yeah, by Thomas Lake, February 16th, 2024. But the way he talks, it sounds like he talked to Wayne Mullinex. Anyway, I don't know if it matters. Doesn't matter. Moving on. Thomas Lake asked Mullinex what he thinks about all this stuff, and Mullinex said he didn't have a problem with it, and he didn't ever think it was a genocide kind of thing. And then Mullinex thinks, yeah, there's too many people in the world, so he kind of is on board with it. I'm going to read you from the article. Later, after reading Robert Christian's book, I asked Mullinex about some of the passages. I read him the part about childbearing by the indignant, lazy, irresponsible, and inadequate. The part about every government should have a population policy. Mullinex did not object to any of that. Quote, well, I mean, that makes sense to me. I mean, I've got one child. And then the article goes on to describe how there's, you know, no progress on solving this thing. And then it talks about this documentary, Dark Clouds, from 2015. And then, you know, he kind of recaps the part where they open up the briefcase that I told you about. And about how they trace it to this Fort Dodge P.O. box. And, okay, all right. So they find out that Kirsten died in 2015. Which is interesting because that's the year the documentary came out. Maybe they were holding off to make sure they didn't get in any trouble or something. Who knows? Then about how he was friends with William Shockley, the Nobel Prize winning inventor who became a notorious eugenicist. Doan said in the film, I mean, he did not make it a secret, referring to Kirsten's connection with Shockley. He was proud of it. Shockley showed an interest in reducing the numbers of people he considered unworthy. He argued that black people were genetically inferior to white people and proposed paying women with low IQs to be sterilized. In 1992, when David Duke ran for president, Kirsten put in a good word for him, even though Duke was an infamous Klansman and neo-Nazi. David Duke voices many beliefs held by reasonable Americans, Kirsten wrote in a letter to the Des Moines Register. If Kirsten knew Shockley, it wouldn't be surprising that he supported Duke. Whether or not he was actually Herbert Kirsten, the man known as Robert Christian, compared humanity to a fleet of overcrowded lifeboats. So then Thomas Lake, he talks to the producer of Dark Clouds, and he asserts the film is accurate, and Kirsten died in 2005. Previously, I said 2015. I think I fat-fingered that. My apologies. But there's no concrete certainty he was the eugenicist when he died. And then Thomas Lake talked to Herbert Kirsten's children, one of which is the state senator of Iowa, by the way. And they all like, oh no, that's a bunch of crap. Dad wasn't a racist or eugenicist or none of this. I'm like, oh, really? Are you sure about that? You sure about that? So I went to, I looked up the physician, Dr. Herbert Kirsten, and an FBI FOIA page that linked to his obituary, okay? And I've got the image of his obituary here. It says, Dr. Herbert Kirsten, 85, passed away June 10th, 2005. Yada, yada, yada. He was born in 1920 in Fort Dodge. Yada, yada, yada. Attended Notre Dame, the University of Iowa. Did a bunch of stuff. Was in the Army. After serving in the Army, he returned to the U.S. where he did surgical residencies. He married a nurse. Had a whole bunch of kids. Ironically, he had a bunch of kids. It's okay for him. You know, rules for thee, not for me. He was active in the Fort Dodge Rotary Club, the Fort Dodge Historical Society, and the Head Start program. Surprising, right? The Fort Museum, he did all this stuff. He was an avid bridge player, a former recreational pilot, and a conservationist who loved nature and trees. Everyone who knew him respected his love of his tree farm, Walnut Farms. It says he loved the. He had many hobbies: woodworking, oil and water painting, just like Hitler. bridge, the Republican Party. Oh no, physics. Livestock, grain farming, and music. He was a naturalist and was very involved in environmental and world population issues. He had a broad world vision of humanity and a myriad of personal and academic interests, which he pursued with diligent and thorough research. Well, that's interesting. So, but officially the kids are like, no, no way. The politician kids, no, no, no way. So in conclusion, let's wrap this up. I think R.C. Christian, if it is Herbert Kirsten, doesn't matter. It is a play on Christian Rosenkreutz, right? We can all agree on that. And because Christian Rosenkreutz was also a fake name, it meant Christian Rose Cross. And some say he was actually trying to push an esoteric interpretation of Christianity. And the Guidestone's creator, whoever that is, R.C. Christian, is clearly making a reference to the Rosicrucians. Nodding to the Rosicrucians, not Christianity, because that's why they're using all this pagan symbolism, the pentagrams, the astrology, and all this stuff. And, you know, the idea of the, you know, looking to the sky, like, for instance, the symbolism of Venus. Every eight years, the planet Venus goes through this cycle that, from the perspective of Earth, looks like a pentagram, and the star moves in these sort of tight and wide loops, which gives it the appearance of a rose if you sort of track it, right? And that's important to the Rosicrucians. That goes back to Babylonian astrology, look into the skies, right? Because Rosicrucian means rosy cross. And you see this with Kabbalah and other esoteric traditions like alchemy with the rose against the cross. Because again, the cross is the human body in the material realm. The rose is the enlightened unfolding consciousness of the practitioner. And it's all about duality, right? The cross with the male essence and the rose with the female essence. We're talking about genitals here, sex magic. The rose is more akin to the female genitalia, whereas the cross is more akin to the male genitalia. And again, it's just another representation of the alchemical great work, the Philosopher's Stone, all that stuff. Crowley and Thelema called it the mystical marriage, and so on. It's like the reconciliation of opposites or opposing forces. The Baphomet. All these things are connected. The go with the bobs. And alchemy is the alchemical wedding. And, you know, that's why the Freemasons, the Ordo Templi Orientis, they have initiate levels with the name Rose Cross within the initiation, within the title given. Now, should someone have blown these things up? Interesting argument here. When it first happened, I thought, well, hey, man, like, whether you agree with it or not, that's not something you should do. And I stand by that. But I'm certainly not going to lose sleep over this one in particular because, you know, because I'm a supporter of free speech, even for Illuminati confirmed Rosicrucians. They're allowed to do that. By all means, let's just educate each other on what this is really happening here. But my concerns overall is that this is the plan of the Illuminati. Population reduction, and just like Herbert Kirsten having as many kids as he wants us, the dummies, the mouth breathers, to be limited on what we can and can't do. It's like why Taylor Swift can fly in a private jet and you got to suffer or not fly at all. The elites are going to do what elites do, and we're going to do what the slaves do. Like Aleister Crowley said, the slave shall serve. And this is why fentanyl is in all the drugs, I think. So coincidence that this drug comes from the same place where they have the, you know, one-child policies, if you know what I'm saying, I think. And I think this is also part of the reason why they're squeezing the middle class and making sure we can't afford houses and things like this and eggs. It's a class warfare by these insane elitists who have more wealth than they could ever spend in their entire lives, and they need more. They don't want a happy system where we're all content. They want to put their boots on our neck and then have us lick it. That's what they want. So there you go. That's the Georgia Guidestones, or what was the Georgia Guidestones. Connect to illuminate confirmed racists and Rosicrucians that think they can become God. And that's what it was all about. So I hope you enjoyed that. If you enjoyed that show, I have so much more information for you. Make sure you're subscribed to my podcast, to the free feed, okay? Hit that little subscribe button. I'll yammer on for a minute. Make sure you subscribe if this is the first time you've heard it. And if you really enjoy it and you want to support the show, you could leave a 5-star review to counter all the 1-star haters who this material goes over their head and they just think I'm an idiot and this, that, and the other and whatever. Drop a 5-star review if you want to help the show out. Now, if you really want to help the show out, you want to help pay for these my dog's eye surgery we just did, you could support me on Patreon, patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher, or mash the button on the Apple Premium app and you can sign up and you get an ad-free version of the show. You get hundreds of bonus episodes. We're doing the Twin Peaks Grey Lodge deep dive right now. You get early access and all the greatest things in life. So support the show however you like. Thank you for your time. Till next time, stay positive.